Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm happy to join this well-warmed-up panel. We have three cases this morning, same parties, same lawyers, different patents. We will take them in turn, each on its own time, although being flexible as needed. And as you know, the order of the parties is reversed in the third case, and you can choose to stay where you are or switch as you like. Our first case is Vicor Corporation versus Syncor, 2016-2282. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Your Honor. Matthew Smith for the appellant, Vicor Corporation. Let me begin, this is of course the 702 patent case, with the board's decision concerning the rejection over Kobos and Pressman as motivated by Jovanovich. And I think here we have the case of a clear error in the board's opinion that has become clearer through the briefing process. And that relates, of course, to the Jovanovich reference. The Jovanovich reference, as the board notes on appendix page 22, is there to provide additional motivation to make the combination. As explained in the request for reexamination, Jovanovich explains why in certain situations a person of ordinary skill in the art might want to have an unregulated bus voltage. And that was explained, of course, in the examiner's rejection that were appealed by Syncor. In the board's opinion, however, the only substantive treatment of the Jovanovich reference appears on appendix page 24, where the board says, requester further pointed to Jovanovich as describing circuit components as modular building blocks, id, according to Pressman, colon, and then there's a block quote from the Pressman reference talking about modular building blocks. This is, I think, the clear mistake regarding the Jovanovich reference. It's certainly true that Pressman was cited for its teaching of modular building blocks leading up to figure 3-4 in Pressman. However, Jovanovich was cited for motivation to have an unregulated bus voltage. I think that's made very clear in the request for reexamination at appendix pages 120 and 121.
Wasn't the proposed rejection to insert Kobos figure 6B?
Correct, Your Honor.
And then the board found that that wouldn't lead to that figure 6B's pulse width modulating converter would regulate the converter, right?
So that, I think, is the essence of the board's decision, that there's some sort of inherent regulation in figure 6B.
Right, so if you combine these two pieces from Pressman 3-4B and Kobos, you wouldn't end up with a non-regulating isolation stage.
So that, I think, is why the Jovanovich reference is so critical. I would perhaps have an issue with the factual underpinning there, but I think that line of reasoning illustrates why Jovanovich is critical, or would have been critical to the rejection had the board addressed it properly. Because Jovanovich is there to say there is motivation to make that front end stage unregulating. And the board just missed that. And Syncor had two reasons why the board's opinion on the Jovanovich reference might be excusable. First of all, they said that the reference on appendix page 24 to Jovanovich was just a typo. It should have been Pressman. And I think that's plausible from reading that paragraph, because Pressman is cited, among other things, for its teaching of building blocks. But I don't think that helps the board's opinion in terms of the error it made, because if there's no discussion of Jovanovich in the board's opinion. Then the board just missed the import of Jovanovic in the reference. And as the colloquy with Judge Chen showed, it really goes to the very point the board is finding a distinction over the prior art with. Syncor also makes the argument...
Can I ask, did yes, Dr. Schlecht say anything about Jovanovic?
I don't recall, Your Honor, whether Dr. Schlecht testified specifically to the import of Jovanovic. The board certainly didn't cite his testimony or rely on it in a finding of fact in that way.
Did your reliance on Jovanovic, or Jovanovic, whatever it is, go beyond saying, here's why there would be a motivation to combine these other two things? And so if it didn't go beyond that, why aren't we left with the board's decision to say, as based in part on Dr. Schlecht, when you combine those two things, you still don't get there.
So Jovanovic,
get to the claim, the unregulated.
So Jovanovic does provide a motivation to do something in particular, and that something in particular is to have an unregulated bus voltage. And that means that the output of the front-end converter, if you remember that diagram that's in our request, is unregulated. So it's the reasoning why a person of ordinary skill in the art would make that front-end unregulated. So in essence, yes, there is a motivation to, even if the board's reasoning leads you to the point where the front end is regulated, there is a motivation to make that.
I guess I'm now confused about what you argued to the board, either at the initial decision stage or in the rehearing stage. Did you argue to them that even if Kobos teaches a regulated isolation stage, we have Jovanovic, or however you say it, that teaches why you would modify Kobos' regulated isolation stage to be a non-regulated isolation stage? Because that sounds like what you're arguing to us now.
Yes, Your Honor. So certainly in the initial request for reexamination, that is what it says. If you look at the bridging paragraph...
I'm talking about the arguments made to the board.
Yes, I'm getting to that, Your Honor. I'm sorry. In the arguments made to the board, I don't think we use the word even if, because remember, we don't believe that Kobos figure 6b is regulated, okay? But we certainly made the argument that Jovanovic motivates having an unregulated front end or an unregulated bus voltage. So I don't think there's a specific saying this is how you would modify the additions to Kobos figure 6b that Dr. Schlecht says would be there.
Could you point me to that in the joint appendix?
I don't think it's in the appendix, Your Honor.
Oh, okay.
Only three pages of the briefing in the appendix. It wasn't challenged below, something we didn't argue, so it's not showing up in the appendix. Not below, I'm sorry, in the briefing. So ultimately, I think this issue, the second point that Syncor made about Jovanovic was that the arguments based on Jovanovic were waived. And the waiver argument is, in essence, that the examiner, when he adopted the rejection from Jovanovic, only said, I incorporate by reference the claim charts. And as we explained in the briefing, even the claim charts make the argument that Jovanovic motivates an unregulated bus voltage.
Okay. Could you point me to the pages of your blue brief then?
The point pages in the blue brief that...
About Jovanovic.
Oh, yes, Your Honor. So beginning on page 18 in our blue brief, Your Honor, there is a section called Reasons to Make the First Conversion Stage of Pressman Unregulated, which talks about the motivation provided by both Pressman and Jovanovic. Jovanovic's discussion proper begins on page 20, carrying over to page 22, and the discussion of the board's error is on the following pages with respect to Jovanovic. Mm-hmm. So Jovanovic really goes, I think, to the key distinction that the board made over the prior art, and that is whether this front-end stage is unregulated. Of course, we also believe that that key distinction over the prior art, that Kobos figure 6b is allegedly regulated, was incorrect. believe the board got that wrong. And it has, I think, come out through the briefing that that circuit in figure 6B, so that circuit diagram, is not inherently regulated.
You want to get to ground 7 and 8?
Yes, Your Honor. Turn to ground 7 and 8, which is the rejection over Pressman and Kasakian. Here, the board had 2 points regarding Pressman and Kasakian. The first was the Pressman reference allegedly does not teach the starting point, which is the combination of figure 3-3 and figure 3-4B, which we show in the petition of the board cited in its opinion.
Can you focus on Kasakian and the synchronous rectifier?
Yes, Your Honor. And the overall argument with Kasakian and the synchronous rectifier is, first of all, there's no dispute about motivation. Kasakian very strongly suggests that synchronous rectification is needed for increased efficiency. There's a statement on appendix page 2022 where Kasakian says, for efficiency, the use of synchronous rectification is almost necessary. So we're not talking about whether or not...
Right, but could you get to the heart of the matter, which is that Kasakian is in the context of resonant topology.
Yes.
And then we have Dr. Schleck testifying and the other side making arguments about how there's nothing about Kasakian's discussion of synchronous rectifiers in the context of a resonant topology that automatically means it's easily transferable to square waveform systems. And, you know, I didn't see you really take that on in your gray brief. You know, I think your main position is that synchronous rectifiers were just generally well known. They were generally known how to implement them. And so it would just be straightforward to apply that in any kind of system, whether it's a square wave system or a resonant system. The other side has evidence, or at least testimony, to the contrary, and the board made a finding based on that contrary testimony. I'm just wondering, why isn't that substantial evidence?
I think the board fundamentally misunderstood the essence of the rejection, and I think you've restated our arguments well. Our argument is there's motivation to do it. That's not disputed. The question is whether a person of ordinary skill in the art could have done it, and that's the implementation of synchronous rectification in Pressman's square wave converters. Kasakian does disclose square wave topology, doesn't go into it.
Right, but then in that particular section of Kasakian, doesn't make it any mention of synchronous rectifiers at all. It only talks about it in the context of the resonant system.
But it certainly acknowledges the existence of square wave converters and acknowledges the fact that people are using synchronous rectification in the art, and then goes on to an advanced topic with high frequency resonant circuits. But the law doesn't require the bodily incorporation, obviously, of Kasakian circuits into Pressman's teaching. The question is, was there enough evidence to show that the ordinary skill in the art could have implemented synchronous rectification in Pressman's system? And we would submit that the evidence there is overwhelming. It's all over the prior art, particularly also when you look at Dr. Steigerwald's prior admissions on that.
Right, but none of those statements were in the context of a square wave system. I'm not saying that there really is, in the truthiness of the world, a distinction between the two, but I'm just saying that right now we're left with a record where there is knowledge that a synchronous rectifier and a diode are interchangeable, but we don't have something in the record that says, and yes, you can use a synchronous rectifier in a square wave system just like you can in a resonant topology.
I think you actually do have that in the record, Your Honor, and it's in the form of the Kobos article. The Kobos article, if you look at, for example, the diagrams that are next to figure 6, shows square wave rectification happening. So it is possible in both resonant and square wave converters, and that evidence is in the record.
Counsel, you're well into your rebuttal time. We'll give you 2 minutes back, and we'll hear from Mr. Ryan.
Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the court. Vicor raises two obviousness combinations on appeal. For both, Vicor needed to show the combination meets the claims and that one of skill would be motivated to make the combination. For both combinations, Vicor failed at step one. The board also found that even if Vicor had made a prima facie case of obviousness, the compelling real-world evidence of secondary considerations outweighed Vicor's obviousness evidence, thus providing an independent ground for affirmance. The board's findings were well-grounded in the record, which backs the board's factual findings with substantial evidence.
Did the board make any findings about Jovanovich's relevance and application to the proposed rejection?
Well, the board didn't need to even get there because Jovanovich was only urged by Vicor as motivation to combine Cabos' front-end isolating converter with Pressman. It was also urged as motivation to remove pre-regulators from Pressman so that the net result would be you start with Cabos' isolation stage, 6B, and then that feeds downstream to Pressman switching regulators with the pre-regulator removed. What you're left with then, as Your Honor pointed out, is Cabos figure 6B, which the board found, based on substantial evidence, is in fact a regulating converter defeating the combination. And so Jovanovich is really beside the point, because you don't get to the combination with the combination, you don't get to the claims with the combination that was urged. Now, and that really is essentially the point, because Vicor can't defend the combinations that it actually urged below.
Can you remind me, what was the evidence on which the board relied for reading, was it Cabos, as involving a regulated?
There was abundant evidence on that, Your Honor. 6B was described as being a pulse width modulated converter, modulation indicating regulation. On top of that, the converter was said to be taking in 40 to 60 volts VC, 40 to 60 volts.
And aiming at 3.3.
Aiming, and that's significant because 3.3 was the voltage level to drive logic circuitry, and it was well understood, particularly in the context of Cabos, that you need a tightly regulated voltage for that purpose. And so the evidence was presented by Dr. Schlecht, citing Cabos and other things, and the board had every right to rely on the evidence.
So let me ask you this. Is it possible that paying attention to Jovanovich could have influenced how the board decided to interpret Cabos?
I think the answer to that is no. Number one, because Vicor did not urge that Jovanovich motivates modifying Cabos at all. That was not even...
Well, it didn't use that language, but it did argue that Jovanovich motivates putting a unregulated front end.
No, they didn't really say that at all. They argued that Jovanovich motivates the combination of Pressman with Cabos, and also that it motivates removing the pre-regulator from Pressman, so that what you'd be left with is Cabos figure 6B. The second important point, Your Honor, is that if you look at Cabos, the Cabos reference is describing the traditional distributed power architecture system where DC converter feeds a voltage to a converter on the board, which in this case was an isolating and regulating converter. And Cabos also teaches that if you want to create multiple voltages, you can have multiple isolating regulating converters or potentially multiple secondary windings coming out of that isolating and regulating converter. Jovanovich was not even urged to modify Cabos at all. And it would be, there's no basis to reverse on the basis of an argument that Vicor did not present to the board below. The board considered the arguments that
Vicor made. Just so that I can at least be clear about what's on my mind, even if what's on my mind is confused. Put aside the absence of an argument, which as far as I can tell, is correct. There is absent an argument to modify Kobos in light of Jovanovic. I was asking about whether a full consideration of Jovanovic might have led the board to read Kobos the way they urged Kobos should be read.
I think if
Vicor, so there would not have been a need to modify it.
Right. I think that Kobos on its face is a regulating converter, Jovanovic or not.
What do you do with the reference in, I think it's on maybe page 35 of the blue brief, to the Barry article which you all cited, which seems to show a pulse width modulator in a unregulated circuit, if that's the right language?
First of all, we think that that's a misconstruction of the Berry.
Doesn't it expressly show PWM in unregulated circuit? No.
No, it shows a. I'm remembering Berry correctly. It shows a.
I'm looking at page 35 of the blue brief.
Yes.
It's figure one, labeled unregulated isolated DC-DC converter over on the left side, pulse. Like fixed pulse width, and then there's text here saying, look at figure 7, which has PWM in the circuit. Is that just not what it seems to me?
I think you also have to look at the text of Berry, which talks about removing the pulse width modulation if you're creating an unregulated converter. You can't just look at a diagram in the abstract. You have to look at the text, and we explain that in our brief, that they are misinterpreting Berry. Also, you know, this was not an argument that Vicor made to the board as well. So, of course, necessarily it's not an argument that Syncor addressed below. But we think that they are misinterpreting Berry because they're not looking at the text where it talks about actually removing the regulation. But returning to your basic point, Judge Toronto, if you looked at Kobos, which very clearly one of skill would understand is teaching a regulating converter in a DBA architecture, which was the typical architecture at the time, it would be the epitome of hindsight to even read Jovanovic as modifying the regulated converter in Kobos, which of course is not what Vicor even argued below. There's all sorts of technical reasons why one of skill would not use Jovanovic to modify Kobos in the system that Kobos teaches.
Just before you go on, can I ask you something about on page 10 of your brief, the red brief? And I apologize if I'm just confused, but you have a sentence that says, one way is to, quote, place the isolation stage first in the power flow, unquote, followed by several DC-DC switching or linear regulators. And you cite column 14, lines 20 to 23. And maybe I'm just blind, but I don't see that there. It, you know, connects with the fact that at least until maybe you get to the 021 patent, every single figure has the order of these things reversed.
You're in our brief on page 10?
Yeah. The little paragraph that begins the specification also describes, and then the second sentence, one way is to place the isolation stage first in the power flow, followed by several DC-DC switching or linear regulators.
Yes. That is specifically from the text of the patent. That's
right. And my question, I'm reading those lines, and I'm not seeing it.
It's there. I don't know that I... Mike, the 702 panel.
Oh, it's later. The citation is wrong. 33. Sorry, right. Got it.
I apologize for the confusion on the site. Your Honor, not only are, Your Honors, not only has Vicor transformed their Cabos-based rejection, but they've also transformed their other combination, which was to take the starting point, supposed starting point, in Pressman, and then modify it by adding the very specific synchronous rectification scheme in Kasakian. Now, number one, the board found that Vicor's starting point appears nowhere in Pressman. Vicor is combining selective portions of different embodiments while omitting key portions of each.
This is the argument about 3.3 being modified. It seems to me Pressman is explicit about this. It says you can do to 3.3 what we do to 3.4. I don't understand how that is, how there's any doubt about that.
I think what the text is saying, and multiple boards have reached the same conclusion, that what Pressman is saying is that you'll end up with the figures in both in 3.4a and in 3.4b as is. And the figures would then be
so,
very specific.
So there's a sentence right after the display of figure 3.4b saying this type of single secondary winding with multiple output voltage stages can be used in 3.3 or 3.4a.
True.
And so to me, that reads like, okay, you don't have to worry about having multiple secondary windings, one for each, you know, converting down of voltage output.
It does say that, but when it shows a single secondary winding, there is a pre-regulator that it shows in front, and it teaches the importance of a pre-regulator, and that while you can eliminate the pre-regulator, that comes at a cost, and the selection of the regulators becomes much more limited. And not only that, but I think it's important to keep in mind the arguments that were being made about Pressman. Pressman is a textbook, a lengthy textbook, that teaches in general the superiority of a single-stage conversion system. It shows that efficiency of a single-stage architecture is far superior to a two-stage.
For all possible uses?
Yes, and it shows that at that time the perception was, and the teaching was, that you're going to get about a 72% efficiency when you have a single-stage conversion system, but you're only going to get about a 59%.
Where did the board make these kinds of findings about the 3.3 not being subject to the modification to make it look like the 3.4a?
The board found that it's not a starting point because it didn't find the modification, the hybrid circuit that Vicor...
I guess I'm not... But I'm not remembering the board giving explanations for saying, well, yeah, this language does appear in Pressman, but really nobody would have thought that it meant this for the following additional technical reasons. It seems more like the board just missed this.
Respectfully, I don't think so. I think the arguments were made by Syncor and by Vicor about how to interpret and potentially get to the circuit that Vicor said is the starting point. And the board had both parties' arguments in front of it and concluded, and including Syncor's arguments, that you wouldn't use that as a starting point anyway, because one of skill would not just select some miscellaneous two-stage system given the entire teaching of Pressman against that. And the board concluded that Vicor's proposed starting point was improper. It didn't go into detail explaining why it was improper. That's true. But I think the essence of their finding was that Vicor is plucking out of a textbook a supposed starting point that isn't clearly disclosed. It's not disclosed in Pressman.
Can you get to Kasakian?
I'm happy.
I think that's pretty critical. You have little time left.
Okay. So on Kasakian, the claims here, they don't just recite controlled rectifiers. They call for turning on and off these controlled rectifiers in synchronization with the voltage waveform.
Can you explain what's the mystery behind applying a synchronous rectifier in a square wave system?
I can't. Your Honor, there is no one-size-fits-all with synchronous rectification. It was a concept that was known at the time, but it was rarely used. And it was rarely used because what works in one circuit won't work in another. You need a very carefully designed system for timing the turn on and the turn off of the rectifiers. The scheme needs to work with the very specific waveforms that you're dealing with. What might be routine in one circuit is hopelessly complex somewhere else. Context is critical. And so the issue here, because it's what Vicor chose as the basis for its proposed rejection, is whether one of skill would know how to make the changes to Kisaki and synchronous rectification scheme so it would work in Pressman, and whether there would be a motivation to do this. And we don't agree that the board found there was a motivation. We don't concede there was a motivation, as Vicor argued. Kisaki discloses a very complex experimental synchronous rectifier designed for his specific circuit.
This was experimental in, am I remembering right, 1988?
It was.
By 1997, A, it was known, having been published in 88, and maybe a lot more was known too.
Well, it was a very, the important point, it was a very specific, customized, controlled rectifier. It wasn't your standard controlled rectifier.
Right, but their ground of rejection wasn't take the specific Kisakian synchronous rectifier, fiddle with it in appropriate ways. It was take the idea of synchronous rectifiers, well known by 1997, and a skilled artisan would know how to do it by then.
Respectfully, I think their proposed combination was to take the Kisakian synchronous rectification scheme, which means not just the controlled rectifiers, but also the timing of how to turn on and off the gates, and that one of skill would understand how to use that in Pressman. And there were competing arguments that were made about that. Dr. Schleck and Dr. Dickens, who's a professor from Texas Tech, both said it's just not that easy. It's very complicated. And by the way, it's not just a matter of square wave versus resonant. There's also the matter of, you know, what is the voltage level? In a very simple, non-isolated circuit that has very low voltage, it's easier to do. But if you have an isolation stage, the timing has to be even more precise. And if you have a high voltage that's feeding down, that's going down to a low voltage, then the benefit of doing it is even less clear. It adds complexity.
Mr. Ryan, you want to finish your thought, please, as you're well into your red light?
My simple point is that what the board found, based on the evidence, was that neither Vicor nor the examiner explained how the particular modifications required to combine Pressman and Kisakian, so they found that there had to be modifications, would fall within the skill of one of ordinary skill at the time. Substantial evidence supports that fact finding, and by the way, it's also well reinforced by the abundant secondary consideration evidence that shows that this is really just pure hindsight. They're using the claims as a way to try to find prior art and pick and choose. Whereas in the real world, one of skill would not have done it.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Smith, we'll give you 3 minutes of rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your Honor. I only have a few quick points. First, on the idea that Kisakian says synchronous rectifiers are only rarely used because they're too complicated. Dr. Schlecht explained this in his 1998 tutorial, where he said this was known, it was discussed, it was used, it was well understood 15 to 20 years before that date, so before 1998. The thing holding it back was not the complexity, it was the availability of suitable MOSFETs, the transistors you use, at the right price. Once that came around, it became more prevalent in the early 1990s. Second, I would like to direct your attention to a specific site in the request for reexamination. It's the bridging paragraph at the bottom of appendix page 120, where we specifically talk about Jovanovich providing a motivation to have an unregulated bus voltage and at the same time to remove the pre-regulator from Pressman. So that is part of the proposed rejection that was adopted by the examiner. And I think the point on Pressman...
Did you raise it in your request for rehearing to the board?
No, not on the
I don't see it discussed in the rehearing decision by the board.
That's correct, Your Honor. We only raised two issues in the request for rehearing.
So I guess what I'm wondering is if you felt like the board overlooked something in the initial decision by not using Jovanovic in the way that you wanted them to, or at least to consider, then why didn't you raise it in your request for rehearing?
As you know, Your Honor, the board has a rule on rehearing that doesn't allow for straight appellate issues to be reheard, or at least...
Well, if you feel like they've overlooked an argument that you raised and that they didn't address it, that's a grounds for request for rehearing.
I think it's an issue that they just got wrong, in a sense. But there is a judgment call you have to make on what to raise in rehearing, and the line is not entirely clear, I think. The question ultimately on Jovanovic, Mr. Ryan characterized it as the epitome of hindsight. I think you just don't know, because the board didn't address Jovanovic and didn't address the thrust of that rejection in its opinion. Regarding Kobos figure 6B, the rejection, as proposed, took the circuit of figure 6B and used it with a fixed duty cycle, 50% duty cycle that was fixed. That causes it. I think it's undisputed at that point that if you drive that circuit in that way, it is unregulated. And that if you want to regulate the circuit, you actually have to add a feedback loop that will drive it in a specific way that changes the duty cycle. And so if you drive it in the way the rejection proposed, I think it's undisputed at this point that that would have been found to be unregulated.
This is the figure with essentially an empty space in the lower left-hand corner, and everybody agrees there are necessary circuit elements that are simply not shown there, and the dispute is what can one infer about what should go in that empty space.
That's exactly right, Your Honor. And on that point, I would also point, in addition to the very article, the evidence that Syncor cited in their red brief, Pressman APPX 774 to 775, discusses a PWM converter without regulation at all. So the name, that sort of three-letter acronym, doesn't convey the sense of regulation at all. It's really what the person of ordinary skill in the art can see in Kobos Figure 6B. As it is not regulated. And if the person of ordinary skill has the ability to envision all the regulation circuitry that was necessary, they certainly have the ability to envision it unregulated as well.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. This case is submitted.
Thank you very much.
And we